little decorating. Well, this is exciting. Hopefully, the men, this brings out the kid in you, and certainly the young people are enjoying these thoughts. Brother Schreiber last week, he talked about the holy war, and he said, I don't mean that in the jihadist sense of the word. And I thought, oh, that's funny. I had this on the Temple Mount, and I didn't mean to. I happened to be reading it. I just brought it along on the Israel trip, and it was in my bag, and I was just going to, you know, on the bus rides here and there, I was going to be reading this, and the security went through our bags, and so they wanted to make sure we weren't going to cause any trouble there, and they pull this out and look at it, look at me, and then, not what you're thinking, not what you're thinking. So So the holy war is the one, again, if you're getting mixed up with the books, this is the John Bunyan one, and it's the Old English, and it's, he covered a lot of ground. He went off different directions, different, even rabbit trails, dealing with a whole bunch of different things. And then Ethel Barrett took that, and there's three words I'll leave with you. She kind of simplified it, and she modernized it, and then she focused it. She kind of, so she rewrote. So if you're thinking, I'm not sure what we're doing, or is it the holy war, or is it the war for man's soul? It's the same story, and then this is the one we're selling in the bookstore. So this is kind of the one we're tracking through over the summer. Another thing that I didn't know was she was from Schenectady in New York. That was interesting because I was actually born in Schenectady, New York. I was raised in Utah. My parents moved out there when I was real small, but I was born there. And I think about that every time they ask you, when it comes time to reset your password, what security questions do you want so we can help you? And they say, how about the city where you were born? I'm like, nope. I don't know if I can trust myself to spell that under pressure. But that's kind of fun. So once again, the story of man's soul really, it kind of covers two different things. And then for us, we want to think of it more individually. But in general, there are aspects of the entire story of humanity's fall and redemption. But then at the same time, there's an individual aspect of humanity's fall and redemption. And so it's quite the story. If this is the first time you've kind of considered some of these allegorical ideas, it'll take a little bit for your brain to catch on to what is going on. But that's fine. I think you'll really enjoy this story. All right. So I was going to do just a quick review. So chapter one, Mr. Schreiber did the prologue last week, and in chapter one, I just highlighted some stuff to bring out. In chapter one, it's called a conspiracy among the brimstone. So this was the battle plan. So right now, man's soul is innocent and pure and wonderful, and Shaddai loves it. And since Diabolos hates Shaddai, he wants to go and ruin it and cause great hurt to King Shaddai. So Diabolos says, I must have man's soul at any cost. I will settle for nothing less. And just how, said one of his warlords, still watching the mounds of brimstone that he had been playing with, how do you propose we do this? That's why I called this council, Beelzebub said. And then they remind him, they said, you were Lucifer, son of the morning, created by the great King Shaddai, ruler over all his angels. And you were not satisfied with your lot. You wanted nothing less than absolute, ultimate power. And you tried to start a rebellion. Tried, Diabolos said. I did start a rebellion, and it worked. And here, there's a little bit of humor. Beelzebub said, it did. If you mean that you got some angels to follow you just before you were kicked out of heaven, I guess it worked. But that's kind of like saying the operation was successful, but the patient died. And you've had a one-track mind ever since. You hate Shaddai. And then they ask him, how do you plan on taking it? And then, of course, we brought this up idea tonight. It's impregnable, Diabolos admitted. The walls are so made that they cannot be scaled or breached without the consent of those inside. My idea is to get them to want to let us in. And, of course, they say, who would want to let us in? And he says, well, our intentions will be invisible. So I jotted down, you remember 2 Corinthians 11:14, that the devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light. And he's able to represent himself as being very pleasing. And so that's brought out here. We'll cloak them with lies and deceit, our intentions, and flattery. And they said, you are a genius at deceit. Definitely a master liar. And he takes offense at this. He says, the master liar. And of course, we think of John 8:44. You're of your father, the devil, and a murderer, and a liar, and all those things. And of course, here is where he says, when we get there, and he tells Apollyon, keep an eye out for resistance. Have your best sharpshooter ready to take him out when the time comes. And so that's kind of chapter one. And then chapter two, we see a summons to man's soul. This one kind of goes through the different characters that you guys brought up. And it's kind of interesting. And of course, we return to them throughout. But the first character was Lord Mayor Understanding. He is out for a walk, and he's out in the hills. He likes to walk high in the hills because there he can see. He likes to be up there where he can see a long way off, and it just, his mind is clear the more he can see, and he enjoys seeing and understanding and all these things. So he had reached the peak of his morning walk. He always called it the peak, for it was the highest point in town, and so he enjoys the city. He goes, oh man, man's soul is so beautiful, it's so powerful. He looked and marveled that each day could be so filled with endless new things and such a variety of joys. There was no lack, no sorrow, no pain, no rascals, no sin. And there was only one law, to love King Shaddai and do his will. And his will was perfect and a delight to do. Then he heard a shrill trumpet blast. And that was Diabolos calling attention. But then the book jumps to a different character, where he was when he heard the trumpet blast. So in the castle. So again, Lord Understanding was on the hills. He liked to be out there in the sunshine where he could see things. Back in the castle, so you have the walls that surround man's soul, but in the center you have the castle. And that's where Mr. Conscience was. He was sitting at his desk, facing a large expanse of windows that command a magnificent view of the castle gardens, the castle walls, and much of the town beyond. This was the heart, the core, the innermost being of man's soul. This was the place that King Shaddai intended for himself alone. This was his secret place. Shaddai came here in the cool of the day to enjoy man's soul. And this is where he was when he heard the trumpet blast. Then there was Lord Will-Be-Will. He was making his morning round. So Mayor Understanding was on the hills. He liked to see things. Mr. Conscience was right in the castle, the heart of things. And Lord Will-Be-Will, he was walking the walls. He was on top of the walls, just walking and inspecting things. Every morning he walked all the way around the walls of man's soul, inspecting them and delighting in their beauty and strength. Here lay the excellent wisdom of Shaddai. The walls could never be breached unless the townspeople gave consent. Will-Be-Will had 5 gates to inspect. The ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate, the nose gate, and the feel gate. And of course we remember that for us, the heart is the steering wheel of our being. Boy, if you can reach into us and steer our being, where would you go for? That would be our heart. It's the center of things. And Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, guard your heart with all diligence. And of course, there's different ways to access your heart, your ear gate. And by the way, that's how you get saved, isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing. And so that gate is very important for receiving the right things. So the heart for the lost can be changed. The eye gate, the mouth gate, the nose gate. As he walked, he thought of his relationship with Shaddai. It was very wonderful and mysterious to him that Shaddai should love him. And that he left him with the awesome power of choice. Was that then the mystery of love, to be chosen, to have the power to choose? The power of choice made love both the most powerful and the most fragile of all relationships. Nor did he know that while he was exalting over its greatest strength, he was in danger of stumbling over its greatest weakness. Now, my kids each have their own BB gun. Alec has his brown BB gun. Claire and Kate each have a pink BB gun. And you dads that have ever tried to teach your kids, you know, gun safety, you know that quite thoughtlessly, you're having fun. You know, you're all wearing safety glasses, and the kids have the guns aimed at the targets. And you know that without thinking, "Dad, did you see that?" And the gun barrel's aimed all over the place. So what was an exciting thing because, "Ah, watch where you're aiming that. You know, point down there." And the heart is very, very, very powerful. And we have to be careful where it's aimed. We think of King David. As long as his heart was aimed in the right place, boy, he could pen those wonderful psalms that are a blessing to people centuries later. But as soon as his heart got aimed the wrong direction, you know, Pastor Dan was preaching on Uriah a while back, and he said, here was a man that would have given his life for King David. He didn't get the chance. King David took it and then took his wife. Why? Because his heart was aimed the wrong direction. That's part of the reason why the Bible tells us it's very important. Colossians 3:2, to set our affections on things above. We remember that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He aimed his heart at Sodom, where Abraham had a different end because he pitched his life toward a different city whose builder and maker was God. And that made a huge amount of difference. So this idea of love is and then the idea of choice, it blew him away, and later on we'll see it amazes Apollyon and even Diabolos. Then chapter 3, we see the first assault. So up here we see Diabolos takes the city, or rather, ... I put that up here because he doesn't really take the city. It is given to him. It surrenders itself to him. So, and again, there's an innocency here. And you see here at the very beginning of this third chapter, Lord Innocency, of course, there was this summons, the trumpet blast, and there is Shaddai out there disguised. I'm sorry, there is Diabolos and his armies out there disguised as friends. Innocency comes, looks over the wall, sees a dragon, which to us, in hindsight, we're like, "Oh, that's not good." But for him, he's like, "Oh, what pretty colors." Again, there's an innocency. He doesn't know. Lord Will-Be-Will is right behind him. Lord Mayor Understanding and Mr. Conscience and Mr. Resistant, Captain Resistance. And of course, Apollyon says to the sharpshooter, "There's Resistance. He's the one you need to be ready to take out." And then they were in awe of Lord Mayor Understanding because he was the one that had the power to perceive and comprehend and discern. And Apollyon, he's kind of studying Will-Be-Will. And he's doing some thinking, and he's saying, why would Shaddai do that to himself? Why would he leave man's soul vulnerable? It's impregnable from without, but vulnerable from within because of that Will-Be-Will. Mr. Will-Be-Will. And he left him with the power to make choices. Why create a creature for one's glory and delight and then give that creature the power and prerogative to deny his maker? Why not make it impossible for the creature to have any power of choice? Ah, but then that would not be love, would it? For the greatest thing about love is to be chosen. You know, I try to tell Alec the devil feeds us that line. young men, young ladies. He feeds us that line of, you got to try the sin so you know what you're saying no to. There's no honor in saying no if you don't know what you're saying no to. You got to at least try it. Have some idea of what you're saying no to. And if you know how wonderful it is, and then say no, well, that's something. But if you got to, and he knows that with that deceit, it will, that's where you become in bondage. Boy, how precious was it when Moses in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, he had access to Pharaoh's palace. And he turned his back on that and chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh my, that's precious. That's precious. And the fact that we have so many options available to us and we say, away with those options. I want only one thing. To please my God. And that's what's so precious. And of course, Apollyon couldn't figure out why God would give free will to people. And again, he thought to himself, boy, if I didn't hate Shaddai so much, I would almost pity him for putting himself in a position to be rejected by his most beloved creation. So will be will. Again, they're not sure what's going on out there. And he says, what do you want? And Diabolos says, I am your humble servant, seeking only your welfare. Your laws of your king are so intricate. They're like, we have one. We got one law. It's not that tough. He goes, yeah, right. And you have to love God. And yet, at the same time, over there, you have that tree. You're able to eat of all the trees of the garden, but not that one. That's kind of confusing, isn't it? So you see, though you ostensibly have freedom, and again, you say, that's kind of a silly story. Have you read Genesis? I mean, how easy it was to convince her that paradise was no good? And then for us, we have a fallen nature, and it's even easier to convince us that we're missing out on something. Boy, tomorrow Seth and Hannah are going to get married if she doesn't come to her senses in time. But imagine them coming back from their honeymoon, and we say, so how is it? And Seth says, well, I can't go out with that girl over there anymore. And you're like, uh-huh. And I can't take her on a date over there. It's like, right. And he's focusing on all the things he's separated from instead of enjoying who he has separated to. And that's a huge thing. The devil uses that ploy to get us focused on the things we don't have instead of remembering all the wonderful things we do have. And like Brother Schreiber said last week, he uses the same tricks. They work. And it's for us to not be ignorant of his devices and learn something. When a lot of people say, well, Christianity is just a bunch of thou shalt nots. And the truth is, when Jesus summarized the thou shalt nots in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when he gave the greatest commandment on which all hang all the law and the prophets, it was two thou shalts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He said he wants you to focus on what you've separated to, not all the things you can't have, all the thou shalt nots. That actually fixes so much. So he immediately draws their attention to what they cannot have, that one tree, and then they're bothered by that because their focus is off. Bondage, they said. We were not aware that we are in any bondage. Your king has forbidden you to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? They nodded. Do you not have a right to that knowledge? Certainly you do. The one thing that was forbidden you to have is the very thing that will do you the most good. How can you be complete without it? You must have knowledge and understanding. I remember reading about FOMO, right? FOMO, the fear of missing out. A lot of people have their cell phones, and I have to be a part of everything going on the planet, or at least be aware of it. I have the fear of missing out. I have FOMO. It's actually nice to be disconnected from some of those things, right? Some of you have learned the bliss of just shutting off the radio and, oh no, really, that happened? I had no idea. And it used to be you felt guilty of not being informed, and then you think, oh, that's actually pretty relaxing sometimes. So there's resistance And at the right moment, they killed resistance. He totters, he falls over dead. Mr. Ilpaz, he steps up in the moment of uncertainty and he says, "Gentlemen, what my master says is true. We can only hope that you will be reasonable and accept his advice." And then here, Lord Mara understanding, he likes to see things. And he says, "Oh my, here's an opportunity to see a little bit more possibly. Things I've never perceived or thought about before. It would be nice to have all knowledge and understand." Before he can get that out, he notices that Innocence is teetering and he falls over dead. Innocency sank quietly, and this was sad because Innocency and resistance were the beauty and glory of man's soul. Finally, Lord Mara understanding says, "Well, it won't hurt to consider what the dragon says." So they listen. First, they have a look at the forbidden fruit. Then they consider the idea, and then they fell to and began to eat. And pretty soon the ear gate was opened from the inside, and so was the eye gate. And boy, you might say, boy, they considered what the devil had to say. And isn't thinking a good thing? Shouldn't we think through everything? Isn't thinking a good thing? Is thinking good or is thinking bad? Here, thinking got them in trouble. And I guess the simple answer would be thinking properly is good, and thinking improperly is bad. We never want to think through the devil's alternative way of thinking about things. We only want to think about the question to ask is, what does God think about this? We get in so much trouble when we try to think through everything. We need to stay and say, forget what I think. I need to find out what God thinks. Doesn't he say there in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? He commands us what to think about, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, there in Philippians 4:8. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show yourselves approved unto God. Don't think through everything. Take some time to say, it's not for me to think this through. It's for me to find out what God thinks and to trust him. And then sometimes you won't understand. I just know that he knows things better than I do. He's got a better perspective. Now, of course, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is true. But that is opening the book and finding out what God thinks, not considering every alternative viewpoint that comes along your path. All right, young people? So, it was amazing how simple it was to take man's soul. Man's soul had been given free will to choose in the person of Lord will be will. What a monstrously extravagant demonstration of love, Apollyon pondered, to trust something one wanted to keep enough to give it the prerogative to choose to leave. Alas, my poor man soul, Diabolus cried, I have set you at liberty, but now you have no ruler, no one to defend you. For when Shaddai hears of your rebellion, he will come to snatch away your liberty. Now, if I were to become your ruler in order to protect you, yes, I accept. So that quickly, Diabolus became the king of man's soul. And so the rest of this book, this is 26 chapters long. In three chapters, we have the fall of man's soul. And so you've got the 23 chapters left of the redemption of man's soul. And that kind of reminds us of the Bible, doesn't it? In three chapters in the Bible, man fell, leaving 1,186 chapters, the rest of the Bible, talking about the redemption of mankind. So here we have another administration, alterations to the leadership. Just like when American presidents come and they set up a brand new cabinet, Diabolos set to work, changing the power structure of man's soul. So he took possession of the beautiful castle, made it his den, and he strengthened and fortified it. Man's soul was not the same. The streets, the lovely avenues, the market square, all were cluttered with Diabolos' soldiers, but in spite of all this, he still did not feel secure. Aren't you satisfied? His warlords asked him. You accomplished your skullduggery. It's a good word, huh? Accomplished? I have not even yet begun. The first thing we need to do is remodel. Some need to be torn down and others need to be built up, they all agreed. The first remodeling job will be the mayor. Remember, he was out on the hills. He liked to see things. He liked to enjoy the open air. And so you see that we have the tower up there. The first thing we need is to build this tower right in front of the windows of his home to block out the sun so that he can't see the light. Make his palace nice and dark. But he was friendly to us. He complied with us. Yes, I know. But he's also a very understanding man. If he sees too much, he could go the wrong direction. We need him living in darkness. We can depend on him to confuse and distort. A darkened understanding has limitless possibilities. You intend to go that far? Will you get away with it? As they began considering these things, there was a tremendous roar, much louder than that. A deafening roar reverberated through the castle, and the windows rattled, and the drapes swayed, and the golden dishes and goblets danced on the sideboards, and the dust bunnies that had begun to accumulate since the invasion scurried across the room. "Burn my brimstone," muttered Diabolus. He's at it again. "That roar is coming from the house of Mr. Conscience. That is my next project." And he looks around and his Diabolonians, so you have Diabolonians, the people he brought with him, and the Mansolians, the people that were townspeople. The Diabolonians were all missing. And he looks under the table and says, "Come out from there." So out they slithered back to their respective chairs. He said, "Now you are hand-picked whelps and mongrels, tried and false." Instead of tried and true, right? "Are you afraid of a little tantrum of old Mr. Conscience?" Their faces indicated they were. He said, "Now, it is not in my power to do away with Mr. Conscience. We must unfortunately put up with him. But when he roars, sire, what will we do when he roars?" "Well, we will work to render him powerless. We can make him look like a fool when he does cry out. We can make him look ridiculous. We must first debauch him and lead him into sin. Then we harden his heart with vanity. We keep him so deluded that when he is merry, he will do the very things he bellows against. We spread the rumor that he is subject to fits. And when he gets too troublesome, we will lull him to sleep so that he will stay in a stupor for weeks at a time. He will be a bother to no one." So quite quickly, they set about doing these projects. The tower was built high in front of the windows of the home of Mr. Understanding, so he could not see. His understanding would be darkened, and we know that the devil blinds the minds of the lost. Mr. Conscience was soon despised and neglected. And then every once in a while, as he roared, people would begin to listen just a little bit, and Diabolos was always ready to give a quick speech. "Hush, my man's soul. Are you not more content than you ever were before? You know you are. Consider how I have served you. I found you shackled, and I set you free. You have no laws. I have let you live and let live." But even he didn't believe his own lies. Mr. Conscience was clearly the one creature that Diabolos feared most of all in man's soul. So there were some people he needed to tear down, but there was one guy he needed to elevate and get under his thumb, under control, and that was Lord Will-be-Will. He was a man of great strength and resolution and courage. Really, he was kind of headstrong, proud, and willful. But he was a good man to have on your side as long as you played to his pride. Pretty soon, Will-be-Will was standing before him. Will-be-Will said, "You were talking to yourself, sir? I heard you say something like, 'Man for the job.'" "And I was thinking of you," Diabolos said. "Of me?" said Will-be-Will. "I sent for you because you were one of the first chumps to be hoodwinked." I mean, one of the first luminaries to accept my counsel and advice, opening ear gate and letting me come in. "Also, you are very stubborn and headstrong, and I have great affection for you. Well, I've always been a man of considerable importance in this town. I'm a man capable of making decisions. I think I rate a position of authority. That's what I was thinking. You were, I was, to be sure. I'll make you captain of the castle, governor of the wall, and keeper of the gates. Nothing in the town of man's soul can be done without your consent. How do you like that? Wilby will nod it. And I'll give you a secretary, Mr. Mind. The whole town will have to kowtow to the whims of Will and Mind. You can be the big boss under my supervision, of course. You'll be the biggest yes man. Statesman. That's what I was looking for. Oh, thank you, said Mr. Wilby Will. My pleasure. All old contracts, laws, pledges, and fidelities will be thrown out. Thank you for giving me this appointment, said Wilby Will. It is good to know that I will be my own master. And the devil pretty deceitful. After the door closed, Diabola said, boy, what a fool. There's no bigger fool than Will with a whip in his hand. Soon it became necessary to appoint a new mayor. Since Lord Lustings had no eyes and no ears, and his platform was, I want what I want and when I want it. Seems like he would be a good mayor to replace Lord Mayor Understanding. A new town recorder for Get Good was put in place. He could remember nothing but mischief and do it with delight. Put the right men in power, and everything else takes care of itself. And so as he was going through a list of his new aldermen, he said, let's see, yes, Mr. Hottie, very good. Mr. Hardheart, Mr. Pitiless, Mr. Cheating, Mr. Incredulity, Mr. False Peace. Oh, he's a good one. Mr. Atheism, I've always fancied him. Yes, these will do fine. Chapter 5, we see the politics of Diabolos. He's still strengthening his grip on man's soul. So in this chapter, he strengthens his hold, and that's a little bit of a play on words because he builds several fortresses, and he calls them holds. So in a sense, he strengthens his hold by building several holds. Things did go comfortably from bad to worse, running more or less on their own momentum now that Diabolos had set up the machinery. After he had satisfied himself that only the officials who would serve his ends were in power, he was free to turn his mind to other things. Boy, there was no end of things to do. Master? Yes. Mr. No Truth is here to see you. Ah, yes. I sent for him. Now, if a Mansoulian came in, Diabolos would, butter him up for a while and then try to get to the point. But if it was a Diabolonian, boy, they could get right to business. And Mr. No Truth was a Diabolonian. Mr. No Truth, there's a seal on the castle gates. Yes, sir. It's the seal of Shad before he could get the name out. Stop. You know I can't stand the mention of that name. What do you want me to do? Do something about it. Deface it. Distort it. Dismantle it. It is more fitting that my seal should be put there. And so any symbol, seal, law, or statute was destroyed, twisted, or touched up to suit the new government. The work was never done. So here and there, there were little signs hearkening back to the Creator. And he wanted as many of those destroyed as he possibly could. And then he started to build some fortresses, some holds. This fort is to be built next to the eye gate to keep light from getting in. I'm going to call it the Hold of Defiance. Good name, huh? And I'm going to commission Mr. Spite God to command it. And there were other forts. There was the Midnight Hold built next to the castle of the ex-mayor Lord Understanding to keep Mansoulians from discovering what fools they were. It also needed a commander. Mr. Love, no light, was just the man for that job. Then in the market square, there was another fortress, Sweet Sin Hold. And Mr. Love Flesh was commissioned to command it. Diabolos went back to his castle to gloat. He had taken Mansoul lock, stock, and barrel. Why, it's practically foolproof. And that's when Diabolos heard the news he did not want to hear. He did not realize that even as the ear gate of man's soul was being thrown open, that a messenger was on his way to a far country to tell the great King Shaddai that man's soul had fallen, in fact, had delivered itself into the hands of the enemy. But soon, Diabolos found out that the account of all his doings was delivered in open court before the king and his son Emmanuel, and the high lords and chief captains and all the nobles were present. King Shaddai, they were explaining this to Diabolos. King Shaddai and his prince, his son, Prince Emmanuel, foresaw all this when he made Emmanuel. They planned that at an affixed time, Prince Emmanuel would pay for man's soul's rebellion by his own death, that Shaddai would raise him from the dead. And it has already been done. Man's soul is redeemed, bought, paid for. And they have drawn up a record telling of all these things. It's to be published. It's called the Word of Shaddai, the Bible. And that's not all. Emmanuel intends to make war and take back the town of Mansoul and those that live therein. Boy, Diabolos flew into action. He's pressing every buzzer on his desk, pulling every bell cord, and getting his staff together. And there, he's trying to get everyone together to make sure they're not going to lose Mansoul. Anyone that's out on liberty, no more liberty. Our enemy slumbers not, neither shall we. Put all my warlords on alert. They're to stand by on call. Get me some posters printed, giving the townspeople new liberties, permission to do as they please. The worse, the better. Let down all censorship. Anything goes in literature, songs, plays, everything and anything. That'll keep them busy a while. Ought to weaken them too. And perhaps it will even convince Prince Emmanuel that they're not worth saving. Somebody get in touch with Mr. Forget Good. I want conscience to have a sleeping pill. Send me Will Be Will. I'll handle him. He may be dangerous. I'll have to butter him up a bit. Apollyon, you're going to be in charge of making sure if any news trickles in that King Shaddai is coming to save them, you have to twist it. Tell them Emmanuel is coming to destroy instead of to save. He wants to take away their liberty. And again, Brother Schreiber last week pointed out that verse, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. So he drew Mr. Will Be Will to himself. He's the only one that can turn the tie. Will Be Will, you need to go get him. And so this brings us to the last chapter of tonight. Diabolos finds support in man's soul. Man's soul readies itself for King Shaddai to come. So this is all their preparations. So Will Be Will enters and stands before Diabolos. A bit of a hubbub out there, sire, said Will Be Will. Don't know if I've ever quite seen it so busy around the castle. Will Be Will, I sent for you over a matter of grave importance. I need your help. I hear rumors that Mansoul is about to be reduced to bondage yet again. No. Yes. I think, my lord, it could be no welcome news to you. I'm sure it is none to me. Is it Shaddai? Yes. And his son Emmanuel. I do hope they're but flying stories, but we cannot be too careful. I agreed. Good. Then here's what I want you to do. First, I need you to post guards at every gate. Anyone coming to Mansoul to trade must be examined carefully and allowed in only if favorable to my, our excellent government. Reminds us of all the things being censored in our communities around us today, huh? Yes, sire. And I need spies roving the streets. Let them have power to suppress and destroy anyone plotting against us or prating about Shaddai and Emmanuel. Yes, master. The mind grows by what it feeds on. Well spoken, master. And we're having a rally in the market square. I'm addressing the town folk. Be there, Will. I need you. Will Be Will felt himself dismissed. As he went to leave, just before he went out the door, he turned back and said, it will be a great speech, sire. And then he left. Diabolos muttered to himself, it'll be the finest bit of double talk that I can manufacture on such short notice. The speech indeed was impressive. Diabolos reminded them that they were his faithful subjects and reiterated their many liberties and privileges and joys under his rule amid great cheering and hullabaloo. There's a good word. Then there was stunned silence as he told them solemnly that King Shaddai was raising an army to come and destroy them. His voice dropped to a dramatic low as he mused that he, of course, I guess I could try to escape myself And as the people looked panicked as he suggested such things, he told them, "No, I couldn't ever leave you." While they were trembling on the brink of tears with the wonderful news that he would stay, he pled for a new oath of loyalty. And with a sob in his voice, begged them to stand or fall with him. Then they cried out as one man, "Whoever will not stand with Diabolos, let him die the death." And Diabolos warned, "Shaddai, no matter what he says, do not believe it. You'll never live with him in pleasure as you live with me. You will be bound by his laws." Of course, we know that God's laws are wonderful. 1 John 5:3. We know his commands are not grievous. In Mark 10:22, the rich young ruler, he went away grieved because he turned his back on what God wanted. "I am for you and you're for me. And so to your arms, in my castle is armor that will make you invincible to the onslaughts of the enemy. There are helmets, breastplates, swords and shields and whatnot. I have some samples here. Why, consider this helmet. This is the helmet of hope of getting by as you are and doing well at last, no matter what kind of a life you live. It's quite a piece of approved armor. And here's my breastplate. This is a breastplate of iron. It's the breastplate of a hard heart, as hard as iron and without feeling as a stone. Keep it and mercy won't win you and judgment won't scare you. And here's my sword. It's the sword of the evil tongue to speak evil of Shaddai, his son, his ways, and his people. Oh, it's devastatingly wonderful as an offensive weapon. And here's my shield, the shield of unbelief. Use it to question the truth of Shaddai's word. Question everything Shaddai says. Don't think about it. Question it. The worst thing you can do is take time to think about what God thinks. Those who have written of the wars of Emmanuel against my servants has testified that he could do no mighty work there because of the shield of unbelief. And lastly, you need a dumb and prayerless spirit. Yes, in order to use my armor properly, your attitude must be right. It's as much a part of my armor as these other pieces. Everything's in the attitude. You must scorn to cry for mercy. What? Cry for mercy? Bah! Where's your pride? Where's your self-respect? Where's the dignity of man and the spark of divinity in your soul? Mercy? Never. Besides all this, I have firebrands, arrows, and death. In closing, remember that I am your rightful king. You are under oath to me. Now is the time for you to show your appreciation and loyalty. Stand fast. Overcome this one shock. And I have no doubt in time all the world will be ours. The cheering of the Mansoulians was close to hysteria. Diabolos said, an intensive program of training will go into effect at once. I declare Mansoul in a state of emergency. The crowd broke up, every man feeling already like a soldier. How did I do? Diabolos asked his generals. It was monstrous, said Beelzebub. You were never better. Diabolos lost no time in putting Mansoul into intensive training for warfare. Every citizen was called into service in some capacity. They were thoroughly trained to use all the accoutrements of war. As they practiced and drilled, the attitude of a dumb and prayerless spirit became a way of life. Will came and went, bustling and important, a dapper figurehead, respected by all in town. Mr. Conscience was up again, down again. His naps became longer and longer. He was no longer a bother to anyone. Lord Understanding bumbled about in his castle in darkness. Everyone went his own way and did what seemed right in his own sight. Now all of this was accomplished none too soon, for already the first part of King Shaddai's great army was on its way. Come back next week.